This is World Update with Dan Damon. Zimbabwe says all aid agencies must re-register and agree not to talk about politics. British and American diplomats attacked at a police checkpoint. We'll have more on that. The UN Security Council team is in Chad, where hundreds of thousands of Darfur refugees are sheltering. We'll hear from our correspondent travelling with them. And any novel can be summed up in 10 words, it seems, so you'll get your chance. All that after the latest World News headlines.
BBC News with Gaynor Howells. It's been confirmed that there's been a secret meeting between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, 2 days after Senator Obama clinched the Democratic Party's presidential nomination. Mr. Obama's spokesman said the two former rivals wanted to talk about bringing their campaigns together. The authorities in Pakistan say they've arrested 6 people and seized cars carrying 1,000 kilograms of explosives in Rawalpindi, near the capital Islamabad. The arrests come days after a bomb attack on the Danish embassy killed at least 6 people. The authorities in Burma have denounced foreign news organisations, saying they exaggerated the problem suffered by more than 2 million survivors of Cyclone Nargis. The Burmese military has been criticised by international agencies for holding up relief shipments. A Chinese court has jailed a man for more than 7 years for stealing from buildings that collapsed in the Sichuan earthquake. The court heard that in the space of 4 days, the man stole cash, jewellery, mobile phones and a motorcycle. The Sri Lankan military has blamed Tamil Tiger rebels for a bomb attack on a bus in the capital Colombo, in which at least 20 people were killed. The attack comes as the military continues a large-scale offensive against Tamil Tiger separatists in the north of the country. Israeli troops have killed a gunman of the Palestinian Islamist movement Hamas during a raid in the north of the Gaza Strip. An Israeli soldier was wounded. The governing pro-Western coalition in Ukraine has lost its automatic majority after 2 members left the alliance. The coalition that first came to power in the Orange Revolution in 2004 now has exactly half the parliament, but it can normally also count on the vote of an unaligned member. The Japanese parliament has called for the Ainu ethnic group in the north of the country to be officially recognised as an indigenous people. The Ainu have a distinct language, culture and religion, but have faced widespread discrimination. BBC News.
Hello, this is World Update from the BBC in London. I'm Dan Damon. The Zimbabwe authorities have ordered aid agencies to suspend operations. They must reapply for permission to work, and the Deputy Information Minister, Bright Matonga, says a number of those organisations are mouthpieces for the opposition. They're handing out literature, they're telling people how to vote, they're not doing the job they're there for, which is to help with hunger and disease. Some charities have voiced fears that ordinary Zimbabweans could suffer. We can speak to Kenneth Walker. He's the Africa Communications Manager for CARE International. He's in Johannesburg. Thanks for being with us. Talking about your own organisation, how many people are you helping in Zimbabwe?
Well, more than 500,000 Zimbabweans are involved with projects with CARE International. They range from support for orphans and vulnerable children to home-based care for the chronically ill, mainly HIV and AIDS, provision of facilities for clean water and sanitation, education, microcredit for small business, agricultural extension services, a wide variety of services, just to name a few. In addition to those 500,000, from October to March when the harvest began, CARE provided food aid to almost 1 million Zimbabweans every month. We had hoped to resume food aid this month to more than 100,000 Zimbabweans because the harvest was not so good. But obviously those plans are under suspension as well.
So you know that this regulation affects you directly. What does it mean? How did you hear about it, and what has it meant for your operations?
Well, CARE last Friday, a week ago today, was just one of 30 international NGOs who were told their operations were being suspended pending investigation into allegations of political activity. That's how we heard of it. Subsequently, the activities of every single NGO, national and international, in the country has been suspended more or less for the same reason.
And they are suspended, are they? You're not operating, you're not trying to operate clandestinely or just ignore what might seem to you to be a ridiculous regulation, bearing in mind the number of people you're helping?
No, we operate here as we do in any country, through understandings with the government. And if the government says, halt your operations, then we halt the operations. I mean, we can't operate in defiance of the government.
So what about those 500,000 who've been getting the help and the million that you hope to feed?
Well, obviously, the whole raison d'etre for our work is to work with the most vulnerable people in society, and we are heartbroken that we cannot continue for the moment to provide the kind of services that they desperately need.
Have you been handing out literature, telling people how to vote, telling them that the government is wrong?
Absolutely not. The CARE has the strictest of policies against any political involvement. We categorically deny that CARE has either encouraged or tolerated any political activity. We've asked for details, any details of these allegations, names, dates, places, and so far we have received none.
Just very briefly, who are you asking to intervene?